When we first sent out the information away last September to various men that we knew were going to be attending the Corporate Planning Conference, affectionately referred to as the CPC. In the Navigators, you know, we have the TMS, the STS, and now we have the CPC. That is the 1973 version. Next year we'll have a 1974 version. When we first sent all the information out to the men like Doug Sparks and Joe Simmons and Jim Peterson, Skip Gray, the immediate response that we got back from them is, what is the CPC? And the reason for that is because in previous years it has always been referred to simply as the DD Conference, the Divisional Directors Conference. Well, due to our reorganization in the worldwide work of the NAVs, we had narrowed the field of divisional directors down to a total of four. And there were going to be 22 men attending this conference, four of whom would be divisional directors. And so we figured we had to change the name. It couldn't any longer be called a DD conference. So we got real high-powered and referred to it as the Corporate Planning Conference. That really sounds pretty official. But we had to answer their letters and tell them that this was simply another name for the old DD Conference. So those of you who have been around a while, well, that's just a word of historical perspective. The first Divisional Directors Conference that we had, I think, was in 1969, which was about the time the profiles for a navigator disciple came into being, the profile for a disciple maker, and at that time we reworked the profile for an area representative, and then that was the first year that we set what we call a three-year planning cycle objective. And we set projections on such things as area reps that were going to be produced on a worldwide basis, disciple makers, how many we felt would be produced in the next three-year period, the 69, 70, 71. Actually, it ended up being a 72 school year period. And disciples, how much gift income we projected would be needed and would be forthcoming to float the whole navigator ship worldwide, how many new countries we would be entering, how many new sending countries we would be developing. And these are things that were dealt with as far as evaluation a year ago. In other words, December of 1972, because that was the end. Actually, the end of the summer, August 31, 1972, was the end of a three-year planning cycle. So in December when we met, we looked back over the last 3 years and evaluated how we had done in certain areas of the ministry, as well as how we had done with certain corporate objectives. And I'll explain a little bit more of that as we go along as to what the distinction is and what these things are. But that kind of puts this last December's Corporate Planning Conference in perspective. It's about the fifth in a series, and it's something that we have felt now for 3 or 4 years that we need to do every year. And there are a certain number of men that are always included in it, the divisional directors, plus usually their administrative assistants, plus this year, there were a number of others that were there, and you might be interested in knowing who the men were that attended. Besides the divisional directors, Donald McGilchrist from England was there, who is Doug's administrative assistant. Hert Dornenbaal, who is one of Doug's regional directors and also the national director for Holland, but Hert is also in charge of Spain and France. And those of you who were here at the Glen Eyrie night got to hear our humorous Dutch friend. And Joe Simmons, of course, and then Alan Goulstone, his administrative assistant. Then Warren Myers, also a regional director from PAN, and Ron York, who is Joe Simmons' new deputy director for all of Pan. Then Jim Peterson and Bo Young from Latin America. Bo is on his way to Latin America, but he happened to be in town, and Jim wanted him to sit in on the time. And then from the U.S., Skip and his administrative assistant, Ken Graham, and then Leroy Imes, Merton Martin, Brad Atkins, and Jerry White. And then from headquarters, Sandy Downing, Sergeant Henriksen, Sanchez, and Mayhall. And then Jerry Bridges sat in on parts of it. So 22 men altogether. And we had, I would say it was the greatest conference of this kind with these men, the old DD conference, now the CPC, that we have ever had. The spirit of the conference was absolutely astounding, I think, to all of us. It was very obvious that the conference had been prayed for and was being prayed for, and I understand that a number of you were involved in a 24-hour prayer chain that kept going during the whole time that the CPC was in session. Even when it wasn't in session, like from 9 o'clock p.m. until 7 o'clock a.m. But it was very obvious that the whole thing had been prayed for. The spirit of the gang, as they discussed some pretty ticklish and significant issues, there was a number of times when it was obvious there was disagreement on philosophy or an approach to a certain item or aspect of the ministry. And yet, the unity of heart that overruled in all of this was just very definitely led of the Lord. Every morning, we began our sessions with about a half an hour to 45 minutes in the Word and in prayer. And Sandy led these times. And the first... most of the time we stayed in Isaiah 6. And I'd like to read part of that passage to you, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin forgiven." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." About the first half of the conference, we took this passage and we shared with one another from our own experience with the Lord in this kind of a situation. It says here that I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And Lauren asked us to share with one another experiences from our past with the Lord in this kind of a situation where we had really seen the Lord, the attributes of the Lord in some form take shape in our own experience and our walk with Him. And it was quite a moving thing to sit there and listen to Doug and Donald McGilchrist and Hart and some of these other fellows and Skip and so forth take a section of their life, an experience that they, and usually they and their wives, had had, where one particular attribute of the Lord, His faithfulness, His omnipotence, His immutability, was definitely showed to them by real life encounter with Him. And each morning, two or three of the guys would share in this kind of an experience related to Isaiah 6. And then the last half of the time, we took this statement of the Lord's, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And Lauren asked us to share from our experiences to how God really called us into the ministry. What was the experience that each of the guys went through? Not everybody shared, but most did, on how God called these men into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, those times were really rich, and then we'd end up with a 10 or 15 minute time in prayer each morning. And then Lauren, as his custom is, when we come to a point of business that is a little bit sticky, and it is obvious that there are points of contention and differences of view, and these begin to exert themselves, he has an uncanny knack of being able to step into the breach in that kind of a situation and make a statement like, "Well, let's turn to such and such a passage and read it together, and then have some prayer." And it kind of is like throwing oil on the water. It smooths out the waves. And after about a half an hour, 45 minutes of that, then we come back to the business, and hearts are stabilized, and the Lord has obviously taken over, and we can move ahead. And that happened three or four times just in the course of doing our business. The purpose of the conference was threefold. First of all, to evaluate progress toward our three-year corporate objectives and ministry objectives for the past year. Now, as I mentioned, we ended a three-year planning cycle in December of 1972. And at that time, which was a year ago last December, we evaluated our progress over the previous 3 years, and then we set new goals and new objectives for the next 3 years, for up until August 31, 1975. Well, this last school year, our evaluating year now, as we've even changed our fiscal year to run September 1 to August 31, and that's our evaluating period. In December, we evaluated the first year of a three-year increment or a three-year goal. And so that was one of our objectives. Our second objective was to update corporate objectives, review them, and then update them for this next year, and then on out to 75, and then set corporate and ministry objectives, or not actually set them, but to update them. And there are always changes that we feel we need to make. Then thirdly, to refine our strategy for the 70s, especially as it relates to the allocation of men and money on a global basis. And that particular aspect of the conference comprised probably 4 to 4.5 days of the 8, just our discussion on the strategy. Now, as some of you will recall, last year in December, we spent almost the whole time on the discussion of the strategy, which Scotty had come up with, and it was all brand new to us, and we spent most of the time on the strategy after we had evaluated the previous 3 years and then set our goals for the new next three-year period. Well, as with something new, even like a new automobile, there are always bugs in it. And so one of our objectives for this time was to take the year's experience now that we had had in working with this new strategy and trying to analyze what the problems were, resolving them, and coming up with some new setting of the sail for this next 2 to 3 years as it related to the strategy. And as Walt Henriksen will tell you tomorrow night, he's going to take that whole section of the CPC and deal with it tomorrow night at the Glen Eyrie night, and I'm not even going to touch on it today. But as he will tell you tomorrow night, we got into it a lot further and went a lot deeper than we had anticipated. In fact, Lauren put it one way, you know, when you continue to back up You park your car in the street, and then you back it into the driveway, and then eventually you back it into the garage. Well, at one point in the conference, in our discussion of the strategy, Sandy said, we've gone out the back of the garage now. So we really backed all the way up to determine just what was the basis of certain conclusions that we arrived at a year ago, why we had arrived at those, and do we agree with them, and then we just started from scratch and built the thing all over again. But Walt will be going into that with you tomorrow night. Let me take this first objective, the evaluation part, and just give you some idea of where we stand in the Navigators. And you are a very vital part of this and have a very significant contribution in it. When we evaluated a year ago, we were very delighted with what we discovered as far as the goals we had set and the accomplishment of them. In every area, in the production of new area reps, in the production of disciple makers, of disciples, of gift income, of our being able to open up ministries in new countries. And all of these were very encouraging. And then we set our sail for another 3 years. Well, as we evaluate the first year of that three-year period, we've come to a conclusion, and that is that in Navigator circles, the economy is somewhat overheated. Now, if you can take what that means with the U.S. economy and put that into Navigator thinking, it has basically the same thing. In other words, what we need to do is we've discovered that we're going a little too fast, a little too furious. We're trying to do a little too much with too little manpower. And probably too little money. Although we're not quite in a position to be able to totally and accurately analyze that at this point. And the reason I say that is because one of the things that we discovered in the total discussion of all the business that came up is that we have, in a sense, done our planning for the expansion and growth of our ministry apart from the planning in the growth and development of our gift income. And in our planning process, we have not related and merged those two things in the way that we feel we need to. And so now we have taken that realization and written it out in the form of a corporate supportive objective, which I'm going to share with you in a little while. And so we'll be working on that this next year in helping the efficiency and effectiveness of our planning process. For instance, the heated up economy, we had set a goal for new area reps to be produced in the next three-year period, that is from 72 to 75, of 136 worldwide. This past year, we produced 33. Well, you can see that's not even really a fourth for a three-year period. And as we discussed this, talked about it, we came to the conclusion that we are not disappointed, but it's just, as we talked about the reasons for this, we came to the conclusion that we need not be disappointed, but we do need to take recognition of the fact that we've probably been moving too fast during the last 2 or 3 years, and it's finally caught up with us this past year. And so one of the things that we have done for the next couple of years is we're just kind of slowing things down a little bit, with the emphasis on the little bit. As far as new disciple makers produced is concerned, we had a goal over the next three-year period of just slightly over 4,000. We produced this past year 953 worldwide. So you can see there again, we're just probably a little bit, it shouldn't be a third of the three-year goal, but it ought to be slightly over a fourth. Well, that doesn't quite make that. And the same thing is true with new disciples. We set a goal of just a little over 14,000 new ones in the next 3 years, and we produced about 3,200 last year. Now, one of the things that I know will be of interest to you is the new countries that we've entered in the last, I'll give you the last 4 years, actually. Finland, Spain, Taiwan, France, Yugoslavia, Uganda, which we're now out of course, because of they didn't seem to want our wares there. Austria and Argentina. And then over just the last 3 years, Great Britain, Malaysia, Singapore, the Netherlands, Australia, and New Zealand have become sending countries. And Canada. So we were very encouraged by that. This, by the way, is the book that was put together for the Corporate Planning Conference. And I told Chuck Broughton, who's my assistant, as you know, that we had one goal and objective for the CPC, and that was to contain all the paper in one book. Regardless of how big that book was, we're going to do it in one book. At the same time, we evaluated our last year ministry objective. We also evaluated our 10-year corporate plan, that is our overall 10-year goals for the 70s. And there were a few changes that we made as far as our long-range goals are concerned. There were some things that are quite encouraging, others that we're unsure of, and some that we just plain dropped. One of the things that we changed, for instance, was our overall aim, the statement of it, not the aim itself, but the statement of it. And it's worded like this: to develop a broad enough base geographically, you've heard this before, but there are just a few minor changes in it. To develop a broad enough base geographically and deep enough in personnel and support to carry the Navigator disciple-making ministry into every nation of the world as God enables us. Now, those of you who have been familiar with that statement in the past, like Linda sitting there, who's probably typed it 25 or 30 times at least, there are some slight changes. Our first objective on the 10-year corporate plan for the 70s was to increase the number of NAV reps by 15% per year worldwide so as to total at least 462 as we begin 1980. Well, by the end of August 1976, which is 3 years from last August, we will have 379 if our projections are at the least bit accurate, say 380. So you can see we're doing pretty well because we still got 4 years to go after that, and we'll have 380 if our projections are correct, and they've been pretty accurate. So that was encouraging because it takes manpower to do what we want to do around the world, and the production of area reps is one of the significant things that's going to enable us to do that. Something that we have added to our goals for the next several years, and we will work out the details on this before our next planning session, is to begin to evaluate how we are doing on what we have come to call a basic workforce. Now, as you know, if you just count the laborers that are doing a Navigator-type ministry around the world in terms of staff, if all you do is count staff, you know as well as I do that that gives you a very inaccurate picture of who all is really doing the ministry of the Navigators. because you've got all kinds of people that are involved in local ministries worldwide that are really in there, in the grassroots ministry, producing in evangelism and disciples and even disciple makers that are non-staff people. Well, that's what we are referring to when we talk about a basic workforce. And we feel that in order to make some accurate predictions and get an idea of where the Lord is really leading us, we need to begin to, around the world, determine what this basic workforce is, how many we have. And this will be determined on the basis of the profile of a disciple maker. And anyone who meets the profile of a disciple maker and is tied into our ministry will be counted as a part of this basic workforce. And we have resolved an age-old problem of how do you count husbands and wives. And some of the guys had been counting a wife as a disciple maker if she met the profile and active in the ministry, and the husband if he was, so that's two. However, we decided to take a scriptural approach. The two shall become one flesh. And if either husband or wife meet the profile of a disciple maker and are involved in a navigator ministry anywhere in the world, they will be counted as one unit in the basic workforce. Now, believe it or not, we spent over an hour discussing that. Another 10-year objective was to produce an annual ratio of new disciple makers to reps of at least 5 to 1. This is one of the ways in the past that we have devised of evaluating where we are on a worldwide basis. Now, we consistently and regularly beat the drum on and preach that an individual area rep out there in his ministry should not use this kind of an evaluating grid. In other words, he looks at his ministry and he sees how many DMs he's gotten, and he's one lone area rep. And so if he doesn't have enough DMs to meet this 5-to-1 ratio, then he gets guilt feelings within his own heart. But, you know, try as we might, we cannot stamp this out. But nevertheless, on a worldwide basis, what we've tried to do is use this as a scale whereby we can determine how we are doing. And at the present time, we are just approaching, on a worldwide basis, the 5-to-1 ratio. It came out, and I can't remember, Chuck, whether we did this. Oh, yeah. This past year was 4.3 to 1. And by 1974, 75, maybe by 74, we will reach that 5-to-1 ratio if our projections are anywhere near accurate. So we were a little bit startled at that, at the same time not disappointed, but we have realized for 2 or 3 years that the production of DMs is the thing that we are probably having more problems with. There are a number of reasons for this, which I won't take the time to go into now, not the least of which is the fact that it's the disciple makers who become potential contact points, and you get them to that level and they get moved quite frequently and easily. Well, you take, just say in the United States, in one fall, say this coming fall, you uproot 25 or it'll actually be more than that. It'll probably be more like 50. DMs who are fruitful and productive and have been at their ministry now for 2 or 3 years right where they are, and those guys will be uprooted and moved all over the country in order to go into contact points. Well, their disciple-making ministry ceases right there because they're starting all over in most cases. And this is one of the reasons why our fruitfulness at the DM level is not what we would like to see it be. And we have not yet figured out a way to resolve that problem and still keep expanding in the ministry. So you can give some thought to that if you'd like to. And if you come up with any bright ideas, I'd like to hear them. Another 10-year corporate objective is to produce new disciples annually at a ratio of 12 NAV disciples to each rep, and we are exceeding that. This past year it was 14.5 to one rep on a worldwide scale. Another goal was to increase gift income by 25% per year, and the last several years we have exceeded that. Last year it was 28% over the previous year. Another one was to develop 18 new NAV rep sending countries. 18 new sending countries. And by August of 1976, we will have 11, which will give us 4 years to develop 7 more in order to reach that goal. And that's right on the borderline of being where we ought to be. We probably ought to be just slightly ahead of that. Another one is to begin official NAV works in 20 new countries. By August of 76, we will already have 15 or 16, so there's probably no question that we will reach that goal by 1980. Then we had two others. There were 8 altogether. 7 was to build up a staff of 80 regional directors, and 8 was to build up a staff of 10 DDs. Well, instead of increasing the number of DDs, we have decreased it. And that is Sani's prerogative. The divisional directors report to him, and since he is the 500-pound gorilla, he can do anything he wants to. You've heard the story of the 500-pound gorilla. Where does the 500-pound gorilla sleep? Anywhere he wants. And since these were written, these corporate objectives for the 70s were written, a number of things have happened in our ministry worldwide, both organizationally and in our long-range planning, that have brought us to the place where we have just decided to drop those last two objectives because they really do not have relevance to the direction that we're now headed organizationally. We're not sure that we want 80 regional directors worldwide now, because when we wrote these, this idea, for instance, of a national director, like Gerrit Doornenbal is the national director of Holland, Paul Yu is the national director of Korea, Chuck Stripmatter is the national director for Australia, and so forth. This concept was not even in our thinking at that time. And that, believe it or not, is only 3.5 years ago. So things change, progress is made, and concepts change. And so now we're thinking a whole different direction on the organization of the Navigators in the future. And so we dropped these two. Now, I mentioned to you a little earlier that in our evaluation and in our objective setting, we have two sets of objectives. One are those that are related directly to the ministry. It has to do with the production of area reps, disciples, disciple makers, gift income to support the ministry, new sending countries, new countries we're going to open, which is all ministry related. And which, for the most part, the divisional directors and their teams and the guys out there and contact points and area reps and the gals, workers and everything, they're going to be the ones to carry those objectives out. But then there's a whole other segment of the Navigator ministry that does not relate directly to the divisional directors, to their RDs, and to the field operations of the Navigators, but they are more of a corporate nature. They are tied to the organization, to Sani and his team here at headquarters. And so we have come up with a list of 14 what we call corporate supportive objectives. And I'd like to mention just several of those to you so you'll get some kind of an idea of that aspect of things in the NAV ministry. As I was talking to some of you the other day, last week when we had that little briefing session, that a lot of our problems that we face in the Navigators are caused because of growth. Now, most of those problems you don't mind dealing with, because when you're growing, that's healthy. So if you've got problems that result from growth, you don't mind wrestling with them, figuring out how to solve them and get things back on track so that you can keep growing. Well, a lot of the corporate supportive objectives are related to that type of thing. There are snags that we've run into. There are things that we realize we have not faced and dealt with and figured out and come up with policies or procedures or guidelines to give us direction in whole segments of the NAV thinking and organization that we need to. And most of this is caused simply because we are growing so rapidly. Right now, we calculate that the staff of the Navigators will double about every 3 to 3.5 years in the next 10. Well, that's going to produce some giant problems that right now we are not even aware of. But the growth that's taken place in the past has also presented us with some giant problems that we had not anticipated. For instance, this is one that Sani has taken on himself to figure out, and that is to clarify confusing areas of overlap in the community ministry or the layman's ministry and determine short-range objectives for this ministry. Now, here is something that has kind of begun to develop like topsy in the NAV ministry. We haven't done a whole lot to stimulate the layman's ministry, but it's just beginning to grow and mushroom all over the place. For instance, Walt Hendrickson was down in Dallas, Texas a week or so ago, met with a group of businessmen down there who are all very well-to-do. They're successful businessmen. They love the Navigators. They've got a ministry going personally of their own. And Walt and Bob Foster and a couple other guys got together with a dozen or so of these men just to discuss, where are we headed? What can we do to help one another, and how can we stimulate this thing at this level? It's a spontaneous thing. Well, spontaneity is nice, but it's a little better when it begins to grow so rapidly to have some kind of a handle on it and at least give it some guidance and direction. Well, Lauren is quite interested in this, and so he's this next year going to be working on this. Three things that has been dumped on Rod Sargent by way of corporate supportive objectives are, first of all, to undertake major development programs in the U.S., Great Britain, and Australasia. And, of course, as you know, the one in Great Britain has already taken place and was a very significant and very successful development program, development from the standpoint of both money and constituency, interest in the Navigators, and prayer support. And the last figure that I had on the results of what has happened in Great Britain since their program for progress took place is that their gift income has increased 80% this year over the previous year. And they are just immensely encouraged. And that is only the phase one aspect of it. They've got a whole other phase that this year they're going to be moving into to try and continue to cultivate these people and meet some of their friends as well. And then, of course, you know that the decade of development is taking place here in the United States beginning next month. And we are expecting great things from the Lord on that. And then Rod is also going to be doing the same type of thing in New Zealand this next year. The plans are already being made, and he's made one trip down there and will be going again possibly before this year is over to get things organized. Secondly, to provide a new international headquarters facility sufficient for projected needs over the next 10 years. Now, let me just bring you up to date on what has happened on that. The decision has been made that we will have two office buildings rather than one. One will be an international headquarters building, which will house Sani and his staff, and the other one will be built to house administrative services. Now, right now, what we're trying to do is figure out how to slice those two down the middle. And what is directly related to just the international headquarters. I was talking with Lauren about that the other day, and he asked me the question. He says, well, if we moved to Switzerland, who would we take? And, you know, he talks about that from time to time, about moving the international aspect of the headquarters to Switzerland or Austria or London or Chicago or... I don't think he really means it. I think it's just to kind of keep everybody a little bit nervous. Rod is in the midst of developing plans for the international headquarters office building. And it will be a building somewhere in the neighborhood of, probably 13,000 to 18,000 square feet. To give you some kind of an idea of what that would be like, Bob, is the maintenance building 9,000 total, both floors? So you can see it would be a building about half again the size of the maintenance building that you all are hoping to move into by the end of this month. And the plan is that this will be built... you know where the greenhouse is? Well, it'll be built right in that valley someplace, probably not right on top of the greenhouse. You know where the cow barns are? That little valley up in there. It'll be up in that area someplace. Bob Stevens has been asked to take the responsibility for figuring out what we should do by way of an administrative services building. And so Bob just got that dumped in his lap last week, and he will be giving quite a bit of thought and time to that during this next year. Another corporate objective that Rod has is to devise and implement a common corporate identity for the navigators. I don't know whether you are familiar with all of the various newsletters and letterheads, et cetera, that are sent out by various navigator people all over the world. But we have quite a conglomeration of them. And there is thinking that these should be lumped together, and we ought to come up with one standardized letterhead, symbol, slogan, et cetera, that could and would be used around the world. And there are a number of complicating problems involved with that, and it was very interesting to have guys like Don McGilchrist and Hert and Jim Peterson, who's really not an American anymore, he's a Brazilian, and guys like this who really have a foreign view of things, foreign from the standpoint of it being non-American. And when we got on this one, for instance, it was interesting to hear from these guys and what we think is just great here in America. You know, they don't understand it in Holland. They couldn't care less about it. That kind of a ship doesn't communicate. Doug was telling us that even our name in going into certain countries in Africa is going to cause us problems, because we come in under the guise of being a religious organization, but we come in with a military name, the Navigators, and it causes, you know, eyebrows to raise. Is this a branch of the CIA and this type of thing? So it's very interesting, some of the problems we are going to be facing as a multinational organization. Another corporate objective is to continue, and this is Walt Hendrickson's bailiwick, to continue to develop and refine our global strategy including the development and continual refining of individual national strategies and plans. Now, Walt will be telling you more about that tomorrow night, but this is one of the major things that came out of our discussion on the whole approach to our strategy, and that is that between now and September 1, every sending country and potential sending country in which we are now working will have to come up with their own strategy for the next 3 years, which will include a number of things, and I'm sure Walt will go into that tomorrow night with you. Another one that Walt is working on or will be working on is to develop and institute a career and staff development plan for the top and middle leadership of the navigators. And that is a much needed thing. Something that I have been handed is to realign the financial decision-making process in the navigators so that the responsibility and authority are more in harmony with the total process. That really sounds interesting, doesn't it? Basically, what I'm trying to do now is figure out what our decision-making process is as it relates to finances, and then what we need to do to change it to make it more equitable. Two or three others, to develop a generic solution to the financing and staffing of our international headquarters and administrative services. As some of you know, both of those things have been problems, here again, primarily due to growth over the last several years. How to float this thing over here financially, and then how to get the kind of people that we need in the right job slots. And it's been something that we've been struggling with. We've got well over 100 people working over there now, and we are no longer just a nice little family entity, you know, that doesn't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing, that type of thing. You rob Peter to pay Paul, and you take money out of this fund and put it in this fund in order to make it this week. And I mean, we're getting too big to do that type of thing anymore, and so we've got to come up with some long-range solutions to our financing and our staffing of both our international headquarters and our administrative services. Another one is to develop a means of relating budgets, gift income, and ministry expansion to each other in order to be more realistic in our planning. That was the thing I mentioned to you earlier. We do our planning and finances over here. We do our planning and ministry expansion over here, and never the twain shall meet. Not wholly true, but for the most part. And we've got to find a way of marrying those two things in our planning. Another one, to determine a process of evaluation that uses meaningful methods and tools and to aid the corporate plan of the navigators. We discovered at this last conference that we are not all using the ministry statistics that we gather in the same way. In other words, one division will take and they'll divide this figure over here into this figure. And another division will take this figure here and divide it into this figure. And so you're talking about comparing apples with bananas. And that we're finding that that really doesn't work too well when you're trying to evaluate a work the size of ours. And so what we're going to try and do is come up with a process of evaluating with tools and the use of the statistics that we do have available so that we'll all be multiplying the same figures with the same figures and dividing the same figures with the same figures so that we come up with it. All apples and all bananas being compared with one another. Another thing that came out of the conference that was very significant led us to the writing of this as a corporate objective, to promote and develop augmenting means in our ministries worldwide that will specifically enable us to broaden our base of support, prayer and financial, country by country. Rod has run into this in a couple of instances where they have started to work on a fundraising program in a given country, and to discover that the mailing list is so small that it's almost impossible to even think about doing anything with that kind of an approach. And as he has probed into it further, he's discovered that we have been so hard-nosed and so had tunnel vision. You know, all we think about are disciple makers and disciples, and boy, if they're not that, then everything else just kind of gets wiped away. Rather than taking a more broad approach in developing a broad Bible study group ministry, ministry to churches, weekend conferences, week-long conferences, where you're ministering to a wide breadth of people, at the same time you're doing the the hard-nosed, narrow-gauged navigator ministry as it relates to disciples and disciple-makers. And we have discovered that in at least two countries where we have moved into to try and set up something on this basis, that their narrow approach has really hurt them as far as having a broad base of support and interest. And so what we are taking on is a corporate objective, which all of us will have to work on, including the divisional directors, is to come up with various augmenting means, is what we're talking about. But what we're really saying is various kinds of ministry outlet that will be broad in scope and that will minister to a broad sweep and spectrum of people all over a given country, so that when that country gets to the place where it wants to send out a couple of missionaries, they'll have enough of a constituency to get behind them financially and in prayer support to be able to do it. And so this is something we've just uncovered, if you want to call it that. So those are a few things that you could be praying about and that relate to the overall corporate organization of the Navigators. Now let me just mention, two more things, and then I'm done, and you may have some questions. The last couple of days in our time with the men, Lauren asked, this came out of one of our beginning sessions in the Word and prayer, and Lauren asked the guys to come up with a list of things that they felt were the major problem areas that the Navigators faced currently. And not necessarily related to the ministry, not necessarily related to the organization, but spiritually, some of the things that were things that could really put us on the shelf. Well, the guys came up with a list of about 15 things. And so on Friday afternoon, Lauren was meeting with the divisional directors, just the four of them, and he asked the rest of the guys to spend an hour or so praying over and discussing these 15 things that they'd come up with previously and narrowing it down to three. And you might be interested in knowing what they are, so you can pray, because this came out of the discussion of the men as to what they felt were dangers that could really hurt us in the future if we were not careful, if we did not allow our walk before the Lord to maintain itself, if we did not stay close to the Word, if we were not dependent upon Him. Number one was pride. Taking the form of such things as authoritarianism in our dealings with people, in our training, such things as manifesting themselves in areas of seeking position, place, a competitive spirit among our staff. And then also pride in the sense of presumption on our part, presuming that because we've reached our goals in the past, we're going to reach them in the future. God has blessed us in the past, He'll bless us in the future. Making assumptions, or as the scriptural term uses it, presumptuous sin. The second thing was poor stewardship on our part of money and of the influence that the Lord will allow us to have in the world. And that could be on the part of us as an organization, or it could be on the part of an individual. Poor stewardship. And thirdly, conformity to the world. The idea of Romans 12:2 in the Phillips translation. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. And there's the constant pressure to compromise. And then just personal unconscious carnality on the part of individual people. So those are three things that I feel that we all should be praying defensively against as far as the overall NAV work is concerned. We ended up the conference on Friday night with a communion service up in room 303. All the guys were there, and then the wives who were here were invited to that as well, and Lila was here. And it was just a very moving climax to the whole time together, the 8 or 9 days that we had. Jim Downing led it, and I don't know where the guy comes up with the stuff he does on some of his messages, but he went into the Jewish background of the Passover as it related to the Lord's Supper, and that making some very interesting and unique comparisons between the two and the cup and the bread and some of the things that were present at the Passover that are very significant even to us today. And then we broke bread and had the grape juice together, and it was just a very, very moving and fitting climax to the whole thing. It's the first time we've ever done that together, and I felt it was very impressive. Do you have any questions? Yes, Jim.
Jack, could you enlarge just a little bit on that second danger you felt, particularly that poor stewardship of influence? What did you mean by that?
Poor stewardship of?
Influence.
Chuck, you can maybe elaborate on this more, but let me take a crack at it. A number of the guys felt that the Lord is moving the navigators in the direction of being able to have a significant influence in missions, in mission thinking, in worldwide evangelism, in the church. We're not there yet, but there are indications to a number of the guys who are really out in this type of thing, like Doug and even Joe Simmons to a degree, and Ron York and Peterson and Leroy. They all were commenting on this, and they felt that one of the things that we could really miss on in being poor stewards of that which God has called us to do is if we fail to take advantage of these opportunities and stay alert to the leading of God in moving into these areas when we should, with humility, but nevertheless being willing and open to share those things that God has taught us and influencing the thinking of these in these areas. And just being good stewards of that which God has taught us down through the years when these opportunities arise. Bob?
The DDs have normally had two conferences a year, one I think in June, or at least they have in the last year or two, and one in December. Can you make a distinction between these two types of conferences, or is this not a regular thing?
The one in mid-year is usually not a regular thing. We only have had them when Lauren felt that there was enough business that had things that needed to be dealt with between the last December conference. Like we had one last June that was only a 3-day affair, and Lauren called it primarily because we were running into some organizational snags that we had made decisions on in December, and we needed to get some of those things ironed out. And so he had the DDs come in. But we have not had those every year. My guess would be that we very possibly could have one this summer sometime, primarily because of the significant changes that we made in the strategy, and that we may need to talk about that before the fall school year begins. But that's just a guess on my part. But it's usually been called because Lauren feels there is a need to talk over a certain significant or a number of significant items that cannot wait until the next December. And usually that's only with the DDs plus two or three other people. It's a smaller, shorter conference. Anything else? Yes. What is it, 27?
It's really 29 if you count Yugoslavia, but we're not counting that officially.
Okay. 27 or 28 or 29. Okay, Bob?
Thank you, Jack. We really appreciate you taking the time to prepare this and share it with us. And it's a real privilege, isn't it, to get to hear a report like this about some of the goals and objectives and concerns of the leadership. I'd like to ask those supervisors that work for me to stay for a brief meeting and just remind you of the Glenary night tomorrow night. And we will have another meeting next Wednesday noon at 12:30 here or somewhere.